It's time for A Different Slant with John Flavin, a local forum with opinions, discussions, and ideas about issues that affect our lives right here in Sausalito and Southern Marin. And now, too tall for TV, just right for radio, your host, John Flavin.
Hello, I am your host, John Flavin. And today I have as my guest on the telephone, Tim Sandifer, an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. Tim recently authored an article entitled, Will California Worsen Its Already Terrible Eminent Domain Laws? I was intrigued by the article and am pleased to have Tim here as a guest on the show. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks for having me on, John.
Tell the listeners a little about yourself.
I'm an attorney specializing in protecting private property rights and the rights of entrepreneurs to do business without unreasonable interference from the government. I have been doing this at Pacific Legal Foundation for over 10 years now, and before that, I went to school in Southern California, where I grew up, and also in Michigan, where I attended college.
Tim, regarding your article, how would California worsen its eminent domain laws?
Well, California, before the Kelo decision, the infamous eminent domain case from the Supreme Court in 2005, California already had among the worst eminent domain laws in the country that allowed government to take away people's private property and give it away to private developers that the government liked better just about any time they wanted to. Now, a couple of years ago, Governor Brown closed down the state's redevelopment agencies. Not because they were abusive, they were terribly abusive, but that wasn't what bothered him. What bothered him was that these agencies were allowed to keep the tax revenue that came from these massive shopping malls that the redevelopment agencies were building on property that they had stolen from California homeowners and business owners. And he wanted that money, that tax money, for the state. And so he shut down the state's redevelopment agencies about 2 years ago. And since then, there have been a couple efforts to revive the redevelopment agencies and allow them to go back to taking away people's businesses and homes and transferring them to developers to build shopping centers. And there are now two efforts to do so that are moving forward. One of them is a bill called SB1, which is pending in the state legislature. And another of them, which is the one that I was writing about in the article, is a ballot initiative that's been submitted to go on the as an initiative to the voters in the coming election.
The sponsors of the initiative sure make it sound like a good thing.
Yes, of course, they certainly do. The idea is you take something terrible like redevelopment and give it a happy-sounding name. They call it the Jobs and Education Development Initiative, because who's against jobs and education? And yet, when you actually look at what the bill does, it actually expands the power of eminent domain even further. Now, remember, after the Kelo decision, people were outraged by the abuse of eminent domain to take away people's property and give it to private developers. But California, unfortunately, passed Proposition 99, which was an initiative that was sold to people as if it would protect private property rights, when in fact it does not. Proposition 99 was drafted by city governments. And it actually expands eminent domain power so that California is the only state in the country that reacted to the Kelo decision by actually growing its eminent domain power. However, this ballot initiative goes even further. Now, the way eminent domain works in California is, under the redevelopment law, there are two categories of criteria in the law, and the government has to prove one factor from each of those categories in order to prove that an area is blighted. And once they prove an area is blighted, then they can condemn property through eminent domain. So you got two columns of factors, and the government has to prove one from each column. The problem is these factors are so broadly worded already that practically any piece of property in the state of California could be declared blighted, and then not just that property, but the entire neighborhood could be declared blighted. And then the government can take away private property through eminent domain. Now, an example is, my favorite one is, factors that substantially hinder the economically viable use of buildings. What does that mean? It means whatever the government says it means. And yet, this initiative would actually expand the lists of criteria even further. It would change that, what I just said, factors that substantially hinder the economically viable use of buildings, it would change that to factors that substantially hinder the economically viable use or reuse of areas. Now, that is a huge change, because if you think about it, the very existence of a building on a piece of property is itself blight under that definition. The mere fact that there's a building there means that it hinders the reuse of that property, right? Another thing this initiative would do is it would add to the list of criteria if unemployment rates are higher than the national average. Well, California unemployment rates are always higher than the national average, and there's no time limit or anything specified in this initiative. So if the unemployment rate went above the national average for even a single day, I guess, that would allow the local government to declare the neighborhood to be blighted and then condemn any property in it through eminent domain and hand it over to Costco or Walmart or whoever they prefer.
Tim, this sounds like a license to kill.
Yes, that is just what it is. It is a license to the government to redistribute property from the people who own it to the people that the government bureaucrats think would use it for more productive purposes or would make the neighborhood look nicer or so forth, whoever it is that has more political influence than you or I do. And unfortunately, this sort of thing is very popular among politicians who want to look like they're creating jobs and improving the neighborhood, and it's very popular with developers who have political influence. The people who lose out are small business owners, typically. Small business owners are the most frequent victims of eminent domain for redevelopment.
Where can the listeners find out more about this initiative?
There's two things. The listeners can look at our work at Pacific Legal Foundation by going to pacificlegal.org. That's one word, pacificlegal.org. Or you can check out the California Alliance to Protect Private Property Rights. We're a small nonprofit organization. I'm on the board of directors of the association. And what we try to do is raise people's awareness of the abuse of private property rights through eminent domain throughout the state of California. And we have been trying to prevent the revival of these condemning agencies that go around and take away people's private property rights in order to, you know, pump up the local economy by handing the property over to politically well-connected developers.
Tim, in light of all this, what would you suggest the listeners do?
Well, at present, this initiative has only just been submitted to the Legislative Council, so it will take a while before it goes and circulates for signatures. And the first thing that listeners need to do is not sign those petitions. But if it gets on the ballot, those listeners need to oppose the use of eminent domain and the revival of the use of eminent domain in the state of California for private development. What we need in this state is not government-controlled development. If this ballot initiative were to pass, it would essentially declare the entire state of California blighted and allow the government to take charge completely of all development in the state. That is a very extreme proposition, and that's not what California needs. What California needs is more individual freedom for property owners and business owners who create the wealth that government goes in and tries to redistribute.
Tim, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Your message is a scary one, but it certainly needs telling.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, and I do hope that people become more aware of the importance of private property rights to a safe and healthy society.
Well, that's my show for today. Please join me again as I shed light on the issues and on the characters that shape Sausalito and Southern Marin. Until then, stay slanted.
You've been listening to A Different Slant, and you can hear us again at this time next week, right here on AM 1610. If there's a question you'd like John to address on the show, or if you have a better answer to any of today's issues, send an email to slant@radiosausalito.org. That's the word slant@radiosausalito.org. This broadcast is available as a free podcast subscription on iTunes or anytime at radiosausalito.org. Different Slant theme produced by Paul Simmons and Mark Keller of Loudville Studios in Sausalito. Find them at loudville.tv. Thanks for listening.